It's time for the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
Well, hi, everyone, and welcome to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. I'm your host, Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor. And every weekend, we are here and we're doing life together. We're so glad that you've joined us. I have two special guests to discuss a very interesting topic. I think you're going to find it really fun. Go talk to somebody, tell them to join us. Dr. Sylvia Fried is here. Hi, Sylvia.
Hey, Linda. It's wonderful to be here.
And Dr. Norman Mental.
It's been too long.
You might recognize his voice. We've had him on a few times. Let me tell the audience really quickly who the two of you are. Dr. Sylvia Fried is a Christian counselor, which is why I love having her on the show. She is also certified in internet addiction. She is here with Dr. Norm Mental, who is the other Dr. Mental, who you may have recognized from other shows that we've done. Now, here's the thing. The three of us have one thing in common, which is why we're all here today. All of us are certified EQ, emotional intelligence practitioners. In other words, we were all trained to help people become what we're calling emotionally intelligent. So welcome, fellow practitioners.
Yes. Thanks, Linda.
Well, we're going to talk about what emotional intelligence is in just a minute. And I will tell you, I have lots of opportunities during the day to focus on this and use this in my everyday life.
It's certainly much more than just some training that you have to push a button and click into. It has to become a lifestyle, I think.
Let's define it. Sylvia, let's talk a little bit about first what emotional intelligence is.
Sure. Emotional intelligence is about being self-aware. That's really the foundation of it, of being aware of what is happening inside yourself with what am I feeling, what is happening as your blood pressure goes up, as you're feeling something intensely, what's going on with me. Being able to have that self-awareness is really the key.
So is it just like being sensitive to other people? Because we have two kids who are very sensitive, but are they emotionally intelligent?
I think it has more to do with being self-aware of what your own emotional state is and then doing what you're talking about, Norm, which is to be aware of what other people are feeling and to be able to read the cues of other people. Mm-hmm. But like everything, and this is kind of a scriptural idea, before you deal with other people, a lot of times we have to first look inward and deal with ourselves. Yeah. A big part of this is developing that self-awareness. What are my emotions? What am I feeling? And then how do I read the emotions of other people? And then eventually, how do I use all that information, which is where the intelligence part comes into it?
Sure.
How do I use that in order to live a life where my emotions are regulated, they're in control, and I'm honoring God in all my responses?
I didn't train when the two of you did, but I remember this long pages list of emotions, and they were trying to get us to have a vocabulary for what emotions are and how we have them. Do you ladies think that people are unaware, outside of anger and happiness and that kind of stuff, of deeper levels of emotion?
I think so. And one of the reasons why I'm so passionate about this topic, having written on internet addiction and of the time we're spending looking down at screens, one of the things that we can do is distract ourselves. Mm. You know, I'm having a feeling, where's my phone? And I think that most people aren't in tune with what they are really feeling. We've become a society that it's so easy to be distracted. And you have to be very intentional to take that time to say, okay, what is going on in me right now? Am I sad? Am I mad? Am I disgusted? Am I angry? And I think for most people in this culture, we're not doing it.
Well, it's uncomfortable. If you think about it, one of the reasons why we don't like to deal with our quote, negative emotions, things like anger and upset and disappointment and grief, is because we feel so uncomfortable. And a lot of us don't know what to do with it. Mm-hmm. If we grew up in a family, for instance, where people got angry and they exploded or they yelled or they didn't handle their anger well, then when I have an angry feeling, I probably am thinking growing up in that family, I don't know what to do with this. I don't like it when I yell, but I end up doing it. Yeah. So that's part of that awareness, and that's part of why we call it intelligence, because we're trying to develop some kind of an intelligence about what is that emotion I'm feeling? How do I deal with that emotion when it comes up? How do I regulate it? How do I manage it? How do I use it productively? I think one of the important points we need to make is emotions are not bad.
Yeah, and we all have them. The question here is awareness, right? So I wonder, are men less aware of their emotions than women?
We have a different makeup in our brain. The connections of our brains are so different, where we're more geared to those emotional components. So I think we do have an advantage from even a neuroscience point of view. Don't you, Sylvia?
I think so. I think that you hear the saying, the woman is more of the heart, the man's more of the head. But I think there is that aspect. And I think even from childhood, that it's encouraged. Little girls can cry.
Sure. Yes.
And it's okay, Susie, you can cry and mommy's here. You know, Billy, suck it up.
Yeah.
Why are
Big
you crying?
Big boys don't cry.
And I think really for men to understand that concept that we all have emotions. And I've talked with a lot of men who are like, well, I'm just not emotional. Well, yes, you are. You're just not in tune with them. You have to have a healthy theology of emotions. And we have an emotional God
who's
created us with emotions, and we all have them, but I think the degree maybe that women tend to be a little more in tune, and it's culturally accepted.
I was thinking about what you said, that we're socialized as women, that we can express our emotions more freely, and men have to kind of suck it up.
Do you think that's changing
a
little bit? This new generation seems to be much more expressive.
One of the reasons it's so important to have an emotional intelligence is because it helps us in our interpersonal relationships. And I don't think there's a person listening to us today who wouldn't say, hey, whatever I can do to make my relationships better, I want to do that. And you and I know, Sylvia, from seeing so many couples in therapy, often the man will come in and say, I just don't know how to talk about what I'm feeling. I know I'm feeling things deeply, but I just don't know how to talk about it. And so a lot of the work is getting each person self-aware and then being able to talk about their emotions. And then more importantly, as we'll get to later in the show, the real key is to use those emotions productively in your relationships. Well, what else does emotional intelligence do for us, Norm, in terms of school or work or performance?
If you work anywhere, you have a boss. And how many times has your boss, you thought, shouldn't claim membership in the human race? It's like, what's with that guy or that woman? I mean, they don't get it. They seem robotic. And I think working in an academic setting, in a school with a teacher, or certainly in any kind of
corporate America
where you have a boss or you are the boss, to be emotionally unaware of how other people are feeling and then how you're reacting to things is massively important.
Yeah, and many companies are now using emotional intelligence as an important indicator in hiring people. And they're not just looking at their technical abilities or their skills or their competence. They're starting to look at, can they read social cues? Can they work well in teams? Can they be with other people in an effective way? So that's really important.
In the NFL, when they're interviewing people they might want to draft, they want to know about their character and how they deal with team issues. And that's partly emotional intelligence.
If you're unable to manage your emotions, another important point of this is you're probably not managing your stress very well either. This can lead to serious health problems with people.
Sure.
Uncontrolled stress leads to high blood pressure. It suppresses the immune system. It even puts you at risk for a heart attack and stroke. It contributes to infertility. It just goes on. It speeds up the aging process. I mean, we could just go on and on, right?
Goodness.
The first step is to improve your emotional intelligence. You have to really start thinking about, how am I dealing with stress?
Yeah, I think that's huge. And when I teach on EQ, that's one of the first things I say, or what are your stress management skills? If you're totally stressed out, you can't be kind. Your emotional brain's going to be in control. You're not going to be able to think rationally.
And stress in relationships is really a big part of why people come in and why they're trying to get help with this. And it's not just that. It's when you have an emotion, there's a moment where you have to choose, what am I going to do with this? Mm. And a lot of us don't take that time, and we'll talk about why that is after the break. This is a really important topic. We're going to talk about our EQ and IQ. So when we come back after the break, we're going to talk about the difference between emotional intelligence and what everybody considers just normal intelligence, cognitive intelligence. Are they related? Can you improve one or the other? Stay with us. We'll be right back after the break.
If you want to learn more about lasting relationships, visit Dr. Linda Mental's Facebook, Dr. Linda Mental, author and speaker.
Mother and daughter relationships are powerful, and they impact all our other relationships. Think about it. The way you react with your mom typically is the way you might react with other people. Yet this important bond can be filled with tension when both women try to find their own voice and develop a sense of self. So working through the mother-daughter relationship can be a challenge, but it is so worth the effort. Hi, I'm Dr. Linda Mental, and I would love to help you navigate this important relationship and strengthen it to the best it can be. That's why I wrote, I Love My Mother, But, a book to strengthen the mother-daughter relationship. We all love our mothers, but sometimes we need a little help working through our differences. I Love My Mother, But, available on my website, drlindamental.com, or online where books are sold. And welcome back to the Dr. Linda Mental Show, where today we're talking about emotional intelligence. How emotionally intelligent are you? And I said before the break, is emotional intelligence the same as cognitive intelligence?
IQ means intelligence quotient, and it's tested, and it's been tested for years, and kids get a grade.
Sort of a number that stays the same pretty much through life.
And so you can work on getting smarter, but you can't work on being more intelligent, I don't think.
And this is the good news. You can improve your emotional intelligence, which is what we're going to launch into during this segment.
This is so important to understand the physiology of emotions and what's going on with you. When you can understand that, it's really powerful to be able to control it. So let's break this down really quickly. So someone says something happens, that stimulus comes through your eyes, and it goes to the thalamus, which is like the air traffic controller of the brain, and it decides if it's going to go to the limbic system, your emotional brain, or if it's going to go up to the cortex part, your thinking brain. Emotions last for 6 seconds. So you have that 6 seconds. I'm angry, someone said something, I'm feeling my face is getting red, I'm feeling my blood pressure is going up. Okay, and we call it flipping our lid, where our thinking and our feeling brain is going to get disconnected. And we see that a lot in marriage relationships. We see that in work situations where we get disconnected. And what happens then is we go to that very primitive part of our brain, that emotional part of our brain. And when we disconnect, we're going to say things, we're going to do things that we're going to regret. And so we want to be able to keep those two together. And that really is the mind of Christ, when we can access our thinking brain and our feeling brain and keeping that connected.
So the trick is to not let the emotions take over. We talk about that as being hijacked. Our emotional part of our brain is hijacking the thinking part of our brain and taking over. And that's when we have an interaction with someone and we go, oh, I wish I hadn't done that. I wish I hadn't said that. In the middle of that, what happens is that we have to distract ourselves or count to 10 or do something to calm ourselves down so we can re-engage that thinking part of the brain.
Yes. The whole concept of the 6 seconds is you have 6 seconds to use your breathing. We do not use the power of our breathing to calm us. Your brain requires 20% of your body's oxygen. So will you just take 6 seconds to... I'm going to walk away from this right now and take some breaths.
So there's a legitimate reason when somebody says, take a breath.
Or remember the old count to 10?
Yeah.
You know, there was. They didn't know the neuroscience of this, but there was some truth to that. And the other thing is, it's kind of interesting, is to distract the brain used to be count to 10, but what many experts say is if you count to 6 in a foreign language, Spanish, uno, dos, tres.
I don't know if I could get to 6.
I do have a story I want to share because it's really a challenge. And for all of us to realize that even though we try to practice EQ, we are all going to have those flip your lid moments. Last September, our son got married, and the night before his wedding, I went to a place to pick up the cookie cakes because he wanted cookie cakes for the wedding. And when I got there, the lady that was working there, I said, you know, my name, and I have cookie cakes to pick up. And she said, oh, no, I'm sorry, I don't have that order. It's interesting because you'll start feeling it. You know, I started feeling that disconnect. I think I'm going to flip my lid. And I'm like, hold it together. And just that fear, remember that fear center in our brain, so primitive and so powerful. And I just tried to stay calm. I took some breaths and I said, no, I'm sure you have the order. Can you check again? And so I sent her back and she looked through all the orders, came back. Nope, I do not have your order. And I started saying the stupidest things like, I'm never coming back here. And this is a store I go to all the time. I can't believe this. This is so inefficient. Part of my brain's like, don't do this. Don't say this. Don't go there. And we all have those experiences. And I have to say in that moment, I didn't do well. I know all the things. I should have been breathing. I should have just stepped away. So we will have those moments where we'll flip our lids. But hopefully by using some of these skills and tools, you can work on keeping that thinking and feeling brain connected, because that's when we're really powerful, and especially in leadership, especially in our homes, to be able to have that mind of Christ.
And what I like about that, we can go back after we've had that experience and we can say, I didn't like the way I behaved. And we can ask that person for forgiveness and say, I'm going to work on this. I'm going to work on keeping myself calm, calming myself down so that feeling part of my brain isn't running amok.
Sure.
We can ask for forgiveness when we do that and then try to be better. And that's what we're talking about, is that emotional awareness of what is happening to us. Doesn't mean we're going to do it perfectly every time, but it certainly means that once we do blow it, flip our lid, we can go back and say, I'm going to work on that. This is how the fruit of the Spirit manifests itself. Mm-hmm. With God's power, we can say, God, help me to overcome that feeling part and to engage with you and to bring that calmness back to my brain so I can treat my fellow person in a way that represents you. According to Inc.com, there are five things that we can look at that are signs of our emotional intelligence.
Sure. I love curiosity because I teach that in a leadership class that I teach. It's one of the things that I let the students know. Leaders are curious people. Emotionally intelligent people are curious about other people. And they want to know about you and about, and they ask you questions. Linda sits on an airplane and she has this sign that goes on her head. It says, the shrink is in. And people start spilling their guts and they're telling her stuff because she engages them, because she's curious about people. She wants to know. And so she asks them questions. And if you ask somebody a question about their life, bingo, they're going to tell you.
I'm generally interested in the people. And that's a part of it, is I have empathy for people. So I love to hear their story. I love to hear what's going on with someone. And that empathy that I have is part of that emotional intelligence.
Absolutely.
Very important.
And we haven't said that word yet today, but that is a huge, huge component of emotional intelligence.
Mm-hmm. What about strengths and weaknesses, Sylvia? That's one of the signs that Inc.com says, is that you have to look at those strengths and weaknesses in your own self.
I think it really starts with being honest with yourself. And I think that's hard for us to assess where are we strong. And I do want to recommend a book that actually has a wonderful emotional intelligence appraisal test. It's Emotional Intelligence 2.0 by Dr. Travis Bradbury. You take a test there where you assess all your strengths and here's all your weaknesses, and then you find ways to build on those strengths and also to turn the weaknesses into strengths. So I think that's important to know that, to have that self-awareness, self-assessment, and to really have other people in our life that can reflect that back. As you said, you know, as we flip our lids in our homes and even in our workspace and have others, we can say, this is something I'm working on. I know in my work environment, they know I'm the EQ expert. And so people will say, okay, I know I just flipped my lid, or that wasn't good EQ, but, you know, and I have to be honest as well when I'm like, okay, that was not good EQ. I'm sorry.
And for me, it's like knowing what triggers me, knowing what sets me off. I know that there are certain things that people do that really set me off, and being aware of those triggers helps me to try to manage them a little bit better. How about attention? How does that play into emotional intelligence, paying attention? You write a lot about this.
Yes.
You talk about this.
Yes. And I think a lot of it is about the distracted brain, how our brains are being rewired for distraction because of all the texts and tweets and posts that we're seeing. But I think being able to focus is becoming a great challenge for most of us, to have a focused brain and to be able to focus on what I'm feeling, and then also to be able to focus, as we're talking about empathy, on others and on what is happening and being aware of that. A big part of emotional intelligence is being able to read the body language and to be able to see what someone's feeling, especially through their eyes, because your eyes reveal more about what someone's feeling than any other part of your body. But if you're not looking up and if you're not paying attention to people as they come into the office at work, I mean, whatever environment you're in, when your kids come home from school or your husband or wife comes home from work, to really pay attention and look in their eyes and say, what is happening? What are they feeling? Mm-hmm. It's so important.
And that opens up a whole new can of worms, doesn't it? Because now once I'm aware, what do I do with it?
I think it leads to the next point that they make, is people who always want to understand why this is happening. Mm-hmm. And that's where I live. You live with me, Norm. You know that I'm always like, well, why? Why is the person acting like this? Why? It's part of my curiosity is to constantly ask about why someone is behaving the way they are, because I want to understand it. Because if I understand better that maybe I'm reacting out of fear, maybe I'm reacting out of insecurity, maybe my pride was hurt, then I can go to the root of that problem and I can say, okay, I've got to work on that. I don't want to let my emotions take over because I'm insecure or because I'm prideful about something.
The fifth sign of emotional intelligence, we're told, and I think we've all lived this, is how motivated you are. If you're a very self-motivated person, and you're that self-starter, and that ties back to curiosity. I want to get things done. I want to help other people. And I think there's a tie there that says, maybe as a child I was that way, but maybe I've learned it as I've been growing up. But you probably have a higher EQ if you're self-motivated, because you want to get things done. And if you want to get things done, then you want to learn about other people. You want to be curious.
Right.
You want to be aware of other people. It's all packaged together.
So real quickly, let's run through some practical ways that people can enhance their emotional intelligence. I'm going to start with the first one that you mentioned, which is don't interrupt or change the subject. If you're uncomfortable in the moment, try to stay with it. Stay with that moment. Listen very carefully, like you were talking. Try to do that little distraction thing that we talked about so you can stay calm in it, but just sit in it and try not to interrupt. So that's practical tip number one. Mm-hmm. What's another one?
Well, I love connecting the dots. We have so many people who don't seem to be able to connect dots in our world, and connecting my feelings and my thoughts and what's going on, what's stimulating them, is a very important way that you can build emotional intelligence by, let me practice connecting those dots.
Mm-hmm. Have you got a tip, Sylvia?
Yeah, and this is something, I only give tips of things I do. So okay. One of the things I do is I have a journal in my desk at work. And when I have a meeting, or like what you just went through, Linda, if mm-hmm. I have experience with someone, I'm like, wow, that really went sideways. I take the journal out and I write down what happened, what was I feeling, what was going on, and then use empathy. What was the other person feeling? Mm-hmm. What would it feel like to be in their shoes? How did I come across to them? And I really journal it and work it through. And we have research now that says journaling can decrease stress, anxiety, depression. It even helps prevent suicide. So I think it's so important that we take that time to journal and really get it out.
I really like that. And I would just add the last one before we go to break is that we really have to listen to our body. Our body is telling us that we're getting too upset. If we pay attention to our body, and so many of us do not pay attention to what's going on in our body, if we can be more attuned to the present moment and think about, what is my body telling me? What is my body feeling? Is my heart starting to race? Am I starting to get that kind of tension in my body? That may be the time to do one of those distracting techniques. Take a time out, soothe ourselves, calm ourselves down, and try to re-engage in a much calmer place. Hope those are a few practical tips. We're going to go to the break right now, and when we come back, we're going to give you some spiritual help with becoming more emotionally intelligent. More in a moment. Well, the other day, I was cut off the road by a driver. Everything in me wanted to yell, "Hey, watch out!" But I restrained myself, knowing that yelling at the driver would not do so much good, and it wasn't the best way to deal with my anger. Anger easily rises up in most of us. Anger, while a natural emotion, needs to be dealt with in the right way. The Bible tells us, be angry, but do not sin. So what is the biblical way to handle anger? Well, this is a question I answer in my short and easy book to read, Breaking Free from Anger and Unforgiveness. That small book has sold over 130,000 copies because of how practical and helpful it is to everyday living. So if you want to be angry but not sin, practice what Scripture teaches. Breaking Free from Anger and Unforgiveness is available on my website, drlindamental.com, and online where books are sold. You're listening to the Dr. Linda Mental Show, where today we're talking about emotional intelligence. And we've just given you some practical tips on how to enhance your emotional intelligence. And Dr. Norm had to step out. He wasn't upset. He wasn't having any kind of flipping of the lid. He just had to leave. Sylvia, you and I are going to close out the show for the rest of the time. We want to bring this to a spiritual connection, because emotional intelligence really does have a lot to do with how God has designed us. He gave us feelings. He created us with emotions. That was his idea. I think you mentioned this at the very beginning of the show, that God is an emotional being. God the Father gets angry. God the Son weeps. God the Spirit grieves. The Trinity really does emote. If we're to live godly lives and our lives need to represent Christ, then we need God's perspective on our emotions. So we're going to take a little time and look at some Bible verses and what the Bible has to say about how we can be emotionally intelligent. Yeah.
I love this concept of the mind of Christ, and this mm-hmm. really came to me as I was studying EQ. I thought, when you have a thinking brain and a feeling brain, and they stay together and they're connected, that is the mind of Christ, that you can get angry and not sin. Jesus showed those emotions. He was angry, but he was always able to keep that thinking and feeling brain connected. And it's a challenge, but that's why he's given us the Holy Spirit.
And the Scripture tells us to put on the mind of Christ.
Yes.
That tells me that we have to practice.
Absolutely.
That we have to be real intentional by putting on the mind of Christ. There's an intentionality in that,
yeah.
which means we have to work on that. And we're always taking our weaknesses, which mm-hmm. is our emotional outbursts.
Yeah.
That's part of our weaknesses. And we're always asking the Holy Spirit to help yeah. us with that and to grow us in those weaknesses.
Yeah. This is just something personally that I experienced just these last few weeks, is how that fear center in our brain is so strong, and how God's word says in 1 John, perfect love casts out fear, mm-hmm. and how we have to do our part. We have the Holy Spirit. We have all the love we need, but we have to be intentional to put on mm-hmm. the Spirit and to receive God's love and to let that calm our emotional brain and that fear center. I think that is just so powerful.
And that requires me to sit quietly before the Lord
yeah.
and then to read the word of God. So if we look at the word of God, Proverbs 9 and Proverbs 15 has a lot to say about this self-awareness that we've been talking about. That scripture says the wise person lives life aware of themselves and of God.
Yeah.
Right there, the scripture is telling us, be aware of yourself, be aware of God. God's presence is in you.
For the self-management part, Proverbs 10:19 says the wise person is self-controlled. And that's one of the main fruit of the Spirit is self-control. And it's a tough one, mm-hmm. self-discipline, self-control. But what I love about looking at this through a biblical lens is we have God's word, that others that are just trying to do this on their own through the breathing and through all those exercises alone, those can be helpful. But we have the Holy Spirit that can give us the self-control. Proverbs 16:21, he does not give free vent to his anger or act emotionally out of control.
In terms of the motivation that we've talked about, do we need to be working towards this? The scripture in Proverbs 10 and Proverbs 30 says, the wise person is diligent, working as unto the Lord, pursuing mm-hmm. right ends because they are just right.
Yeah. We really do have an empathy crisis in our culture today. And that is one thing I think as Christians, we can be lights out there to put ourselves in other people's shoes and to be able to have that love of Christ.
I'm seeing a theme here that there's a lot of help in Proverbs. Maybe a really good thing to do in terms of boosting our emotional intelligence would be to read through the book of Proverbs and begin to look at what wise people do. There's one more that I wanted to mention on that, and that is in the whole area of being in relationship with other people, because this is a relationship show. We talk about that all the time, and building our support networks and the people that we're engaging with, whether it's at church, at work, in our families, wherever. Mm-hmm. And we're back in Proverbs 11, and you can go to 12 and 13 and 14 and 17 and 34. All of this, if we sum it up, says that the wise person has the trust of others, even the king. He often prospers and rules over the foolish. There's benefit, according to Scripture, in terms of developing this emotional intelligence in our life. It will make us prosper. And as a good leader, this is a skill that will help us in our leadership with other people as well.
It's something that our workplaces are in such need of, our churches, our homes, our people, because we all want to live and work with people who have good emotional intelligence. I think it's just so important, and I hope your listeners today can be encouraged that they can improve their EQ. And it's a lifelong process. It's something we're going to have to work on.
So what would you say would be the best way? Would you think just reading scriptures and getting the Word of God first into our hearts and then maybe taking a book like the one you talked to us about?
That's an excellent place to start. And I think in God's Word and in conversation with God, it starts with that. And then in conversation through journaling with ourselves and then applying that. And God gives us lots of opportunities, even like you saw today, to practice that.
Well, I hope we gave you some help today. You can boost your emotional intelligence. We want you to be aware. We want you to be godlike in the way that you respond to people and feel like you are being controlled by the Holy Spirit rather than your emotions are out of control. And that's all the time we have for today. Many thanks to our producer, Pam Miller, our engineer, Caleb Carpenter, our post-producer, Chris Underation. Thanks again to my special guests who are here, Dr. Sylvia Freed and Dr. Norm Mintel. From all of us here at Faith Radio, we'll talk to you next weekend. In the meantime, remember, we're here doing life together, and it's better when you don't have to do it alone.
Do it live together. Reaching out with hope. Encouraging one another. Each step along the road. You and I can make everything a little better. Do it live together.
The Dr. Linda Mintel Show is a production of WQLU-FM 90.9 in Lynchburg, Virginia.